getting credit for that. Airplane calls are his most successful.
I haven't gotten credit anywhere, and I've, all my background has been that it's been your initiative. It is so petty. They have never, as long as you've been here, except for this China representation issue, which is a relatively unimportant one, they have never raised any China initiative with you. Hell, they don't even know about any. I have a whole book full of messages which we passed back and forth to the Chinese, all of which came at your initiative. Through Kuchescu, Yaya. Well, on Berlin, this is also a minor thing, but one of our officials had a technical issue that he's been negotiating with the Russians. And they said, we can't do it now, but in a few weeks the situation will improve, will be different, and then it will be
different. Can I suggest something on the China thing? And you gave the whole record to Scali.
Well, I haven't given the
nothing quite. I mean, you give him everything that every press man should know.
Yeah.
Because I want Scully, you know, he'll go warbling around him. I want to get across. I'm not going to let State Hawk get this China thing done.
It's absolutely outrageous, Mr. President.
I'm not going to allow it.
And moreover, this is one, sometimes I've made proposals, but this is one in which I executed your ideas, but it was basically your initiative.
Really, you got it, as you know, I started the thing myself, and I've been thinking about it.
About their impact on the public. The press is playing them Fred is playing them in order to damage us. There's no question about it. It's hard to play them as heroes because they talk so inarticulately. The press is treating them respectfully on television. But it's, I think the average citizen reaction has to be very negative. They talk inarticulately, they look like slobs, they don't look patriotic, they don't even get across, they look like a bunch of hippies in uniform.
Thanks. to get into exactly that question. And the question, I think we got to figure out what we do. We're on a strange wicket here, in that the Justice Department went and asked the court for an order to get those people off the mall. And the court granted the order. Now, the court denied the order. It was then went to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who upheld the justice order. That was then appealed to the entire Supreme Court, and the entire Supreme Court upheld the order. And we now have a situation where those people are camping on the mall in defiance of the Supreme Court.
Leave them there.
And
leave them there.
The question of what we do about it.
No, leave them there. Haggle around about it.
I agree.
Haggle around.
We've got to look like we're haggling around. We've got to.
No, that's going to be something. Mitchell said, I talked to him about it yesterday, and I said that he's going to just present the thing to them, and we're negotiating with their lawyers. Negotiate on it.
So the problem there is their lawyers are smarter than we are, because Ramsey Clark went out and said, we've lost. The order is clear. You must leave.
Okay. Good. All right.
Pretty smart. Ramsey Clark's part. And then they took a vote and said, we won't leave anymore.
We'll negotiate. Just continue to negotiate with them. Don't throw those guys off. We cannot have that sort of a situation. Forget the law and order thing.
Now here's the problem. They were going on the assumption they would leave tomorrow night, or leave tomorrow after they finished their
Then they arrived again.
Now it turns out that they plan to stay there on for the next couple of weeks while the other riots begin, and that the other rioters will now start joining. Then we get into another.
Then go in and move.
Then we got to go in and move.
When the other riders arrive, then you go in and move them out. But don't move the veterans out. Just, you're continuing to negotiate on the matter.
Did you hear about the lady from Texas?
No.
Yeah, she was great. A nice, just American lady from Texas was up there, and they showed up on the Capitol steps, all these miserable looking shits. And this...
Believe me.
It's just awful. And this lady got up and she was sort of trembling with emotion, but well-controlled emotion.
You know, TV?
Yes. She said, could I say something? And they said, yes. And so they gave her the microphone. She said, I'm a taxpayer. I pay tremendous amounts of money to support you people. Now get out of here and go to work and earn a living. Puts down her microphone and goes away. And boy, that's just attractive as hell on television. Because you can just see everybody at home who's the same way, saying, right on, lady.
Okay, no problem.
Very emotional.
Well, it's like our
down, right
our
road down, but not quite.
It's like our road speech had a hell of an impact, because I tell them, get off your ass and start scrubbing the bed pads. I did not say what situation. You know why I could speak with rather a feeling about that. And you know, at the present time, he's got them. Welfare workers refuse to glue scrub floors or empty bed pans, you know, things like that. That's menial work.
Yeah.
Don't get into the business. talked, and he should meet with Clark again today. Now, you're the attorney for this group. I urge you again, Mr. Clark, put the bucket back on his back. But don't let Mitchell order the park police. You see, Henry, the picture of taking an amputee, the three amputees in there, and herding them off of there. That'll kill us. We ain't gonna do it. Let those bastards stay there throughout. It'll start raining one of these days. It'll rain if it does. That gives you memories.
At least for a bit, I think.
If it gets into next week, and
I think if you've waited a week, if you can demonstrate that you've waited a week, you've asked them every day to leave, but they are becoming a public spectacle, and
yeah.
If you position it very carefully.
Yeah. And get it away from veterans. If you get past Saturday, when you get all the rowdy people in, instead of just veterans, then you're in a better position to hold in butters.
But I have a feeling, maybe wrong, I just have a feeling that people are turned off of the war. They may be turned off more by this kind of ratty people. What do you think about them?
I hope they are.
In Washington, D.C., they're not, that's for sure. But the country, your poll so indicates, doesn't it?
Sure does. I think they are in Washington, D.C.
Mr. President, let's get one or two more successes.
Yeah.
I mean, I find, for example, that this China thing is still building because a lot of people are just waking up to it.
Are they?
Yeah.
And then, and if you get
and I'm saying he must have done something. Now let's get this.
You hear that how well this all did last time? You were counseling. Seeing how much was
being done.
Oh, yeah.
On television.
Yeah.
It's turning over like anybody.
Yeah, just great. And his style was great. He leaned on the podium and it was very relaxed in the way he.
Just a great questions and everything. It was all
I got since that man.
I just employed the supervisor.
I'm a very guy.
In Section 8, Grand Road.
And my boss would be very glad you asked the question.
No, I keep getting comments, people calling up and saying that really was sensational.
Really?
And
well, it is.
Well, and if they knew the whole story,
yeah,
and sometime before the election we can get it out.
Long before that.
till we got the Dupreen and things straightened out.
Well, of course not.
After that.
These other things that I have. The demonstrating things, Mr. Chairman. The press is so desperately trying to show only the good-looking ones, aren't they?
But they can't succeed.
Not really.
There aren't any good-looking ones.
I had a picture this morning in the Post. They had two guys who were shaving in the front row. I noticed.
But there's this absurd Marine who looks as, who always wears his full dress uniform, and I swear he looks as if he were from the Civil War. He looks absolutely absurd.
It's a...
In fact, I thought it was an advertisement.
Maybe we're kidding ourselves, but I just can't... I just can't see that this is...
Whether we kid ourselves or not, now we're on a course, we've got to see it through, come out.
Mr. President, if anybody had predicted a year ago that you could do Cambodia and Laos, that you'd have the North Vietnamese in more trouble than they've ever been, and the Chinese move towards you, and perhaps break something with the Russians, they would have said that can't be done.
Jesus Christ, Johnny Bird, another crybaby. Help. But I must say, Bob, it's hard to find a Republican who's going to be gotten down. It's a serious thing on the
Well, there's a lot of places in government.
Good looking boss.
Serious, and the rest of the government, oh, Bob, there.
That's right. There's
there are places in government where we can employ people. We had to move some people from here over the period of time. We put them out of the agencies, and they're happier here, aren't they?
Sure they are.
I mean, they run as fast as we need to.
That's right.
They're over me. They're working, and they can take a 3-hour break and knowing all the things they do in the office.
Right.
I was in New York yesterday, and met a lot of your friends and sisters. Well, they're all encouraged about the economy. Campaign, Elmer Bogus.
Were they champions in Paris?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And he's also talking about the very thing he talked to 12 senators about beyond Vietnam. What do we do about Japan and Germany?
George has got a long view. Elmer is in great shape.
Oh, yeah. I spoke with
an amazing man. I think the people over 65, there's a guy 84 that'll show us a few things.
And I delivered a speech written by Noel Cook at the Bullock Forum called Tyranny of the Polls. It's a great speech. And of course, it turned out very strong for the press. Now, you look beyond the polls and very well received. You've spoken there a time or two at the Bullock Forum.
Oh, the Calvin Bullock Forum. Right.
Yeah.
It's a great town.
Yeah. I was there.
Did he show you the furniture?
Oh, I saw all the flags and the furniture. But I know you can't vote. You've got no time at all to read that speech. It's a great one. We're going to try to get it published.
Get it. We'll do it.
Written by Noel.
Well, I put it all through this government, as Bob will tell you, Bob Holman. I
swim. How do they learn to swim? They got to be thrown in the water, right? And when you go, true. Absolutely, every good swimming teacher throws the kid in the water. They paddle and they are frightened to death. Mommy says, oh, isn't it cruel? And they also, this whole idea, well, it's terribly cruel to make an individual work so much. Like my little example with the kids from Rio Grande High School. I know many of the bleeding heart, soft-hearted willyheads around here would say, we've got a few in the White House. I said, isn't it a shame, those poor little Mexican children, that's the poorest county in Texas, you know, that they had to earn the money, work for a year, you know, scrubbing pans, and babysitting, and all the other things, in order to get the money. Why didn't some foundation help? Why didn't the rich merchants help? Or why didn't we find something out of the government to help them so that they wouldn't have to work? And the answer is, it does no favor to an individual to deny him the responsibility of developing self-reliance, self-respect. How does an individual become strong? He becomes strong by having to develop those capacities, right? And you've got to tell him that. Now, they say, that's hard-hearted. You don't care about this poor person. Oh, yes. If a person is blind, if a person is deaf, if a person is crippled, if a person has any kind of mental or physical disability, I give them anything, including everything I've got. That's real charity. But by God, if a person is not blind, he is not blind, he should develop that capacity, or you're making him blind. You know, a muscle that isn't used becomes, you know, about nothing, right? Your chairman has been more active in this field of helping the handicapped. This is not known, this hard-hearted chairman we've got, than almost any senator I know. But he says, don't help those clowns that refuse to help themselves. Don't you agree? I think this line is a good line for Republicans. That was fascinating. About this welfare speech, Kissinger asked about the president's solution to menial labor and working with bed tents and sweeping floors and everything.
Did you tell the story at the
dinner? No, no, no. kind of society are we these days, whining around because of the little tasks we've got to do? We need a little character in this country, believe me.
Did you see that Texas lady on TV last night? On the Capitol steps?
No, I didn't.
This is a great story.
She was just great.
Ordinary, middle-aged, ordinary-looking woman who was up there on the hill, and these veterans were up, these rabid-looking people horsing around up there, and she said, could I say something? And they gave her the microphone. They thought she was going to give an anti-war speech or something. And she was right on the brink of emotional breakdown, but not quite. She didn't cry, and she didn't break down, but you could see she was controlling herself, and she did. She got high-pitched and loud. And she said, I'm a taxpayer, and I pay a lot of money in taxes to support you people. Why don't you get out of here and go to work? And she turned the mic small back. Boy, that was pretty potent stuff.
Get on television.
Everybody's sitting there at home saying exactly the same thing.
Well, the little Rio Grande kids would have been proud of that. My goodness, and this. And the prettiest child, you ought to check to see who that girl child was living on. She must have been 18. She looks as if she could have been 25, very mature, well spoken, Mexican background, obvious, but a beautiful child. She's like a Madonna face, and she presented it. She got the idea of earning that there. They said we wouldn't build elections and ask for any money. We decided we'd earn it all ourselves. And they sold Texas tamales for 75 cents a dozen. I said, how in the world can you do that? And she said, tamales. She said, because I didn't ask you, can't sell tamales for 75 cents a dozen. Oh, these are the little Texas ones rather than the big California ones. You know, the California ones are the
big fat.
Which cost 75 cents each in a restaurant or a dollar. But these little Texas. And I said, you made money at that.
Yeah.
But they did a lot of other things.
Washing cars.
They washed the cars.
Washing cars.
And, picked oranges and all those menial, horrible things.
You ever picked an orange?
Spiders,
yes,
skirts.
You
designed an orange tree.
Yes.
It's the dirtiest work. That's why they have it. That's why the Mexicans do it.
He can tell that story. He's in charge of our youth program.
Well, and here they are, and they all came up, and they were out here in the one last month, and you should have seen they were all clean. The little boys, little Mexican boys had their ties on, and the girls were all looking there. 30 of them. And the principal was a nice Mexican fellow. And they were so proud that they'd done it themselves. And I see other scrubby bunches come. Most of the kids that come really are fine, really fine. They're from all over the country. But sometimes you see a scrubby, scrawny bunch come out here, whining and bitching around. And you'll find that somebody paid them, or they're complaining that mama didn't give them big enough allowance. You show me one of those, and I'll show you one that's going to go to the devil fast.
What are your ideas on this, Mr. President? What are the... We can't stimulate chores anymore. We can't stimulate...
I know there's nothing to do.
How do we get kids to measure themselves in new ways, to challenge themselves in new ways?
Well, let me say this. You can't do it. And let me say the problem really is in our class, your class, my class, and so forth. All of us have it. Even with our own children, they probably have been received too much. The main thing is not to give them too much, to now and then deny something. I mean, whether it's the new car or the trip to Europe or whatever the case is, or the feeling of responsibility, the feeling of having to do something myself. But beyond that, I think I can only talk around the subject. The worst thing you can do to any individual, and particularly to a child, is to let him to blame something else or somebody else for his own inadequacies. For example, the war will be over while we are here. The firemen, we're going to have a big program to clean it up. It won't be clean, but everybody can do it and say, well, we're going to have clean air and clean water and nobody. And we'll have a nice little welfare program, and maybe we'll get a little revenue sharing program through, and we'll have a little health program. And we'll do the best we can for the poor Negroes and others that don't have an equal chance. All of a sudden, and incidentally, the culprits are not the kids, or these goddamn college professors, particularly assistant professors, most of whom are draft evaders and draft dodgers and the rest, and try to avoid it. And preachers, the young preachers who did it for the same reason, including, and I'm a Quaker, an awful lot that became Quakers in order to avoid the military service. But that's an aside. I can tell you that one day to the races, then the system would be all right. One day, that child or that individual looks in the mirror. When that day comes, that moment of truth, he'll amount to something. What you've really got to say, and it's a very, very tough thing, because sometimes it'll turn them off. See, we pamper them so much, and we treat them so well, and everything is so easy, and, oh dear, don't move, I'll move the television set a little closer to your chair where they're slopping on the floor, you know, and all the rest. Know that? Huh? But, so, and, but it doesn't mean getting out and getting the whip and whacking them and so forth. We didn't like much of that. But it did, but what it really is, don't let them escape. It's the escapist thing we must avoid. Once, and this is the trouble with the nation today, if we look at America, when they don't, they say, oh, we must go to spend our money for the SSD, we should spend it on the ghettos. And so we must spend our money on defense, we mustn't spend our money on these other great breakthroughs that we can talk to. All right, once a nation, and the same is true of a person, begins to think solely of itself rather than of what it can be bigger than itself, that nation is destined to be a small nation and a poor nation and a weak nation. I often quote De Gaulle. He did a lot of things I didn't like, but he said some things that were quite true. And one thing he said was that France was never her true self unless she was engaged in a great enterprise. So it is with America. America has been her true self and a great nation because from the beginning we have been engaged in a great enterprise. First was exploring the West, then perhaps it was other things. Sometimes it was war. We rule out war now, so that's gone. But there are other enterprises that take space, the space thing. To me, the space thing, I don't give a damn if we go to the moon or not. I don't care if there's nothing there, and I don't think they're going to find them scientifically. It happens. They did find a lot. We developed a whole new program in regard to computerization, which put us first in the world in that area. But the important thing is to go. The important thing is to explore the unknown. The important thing for the young today is to not think in these what are really totally selfish terms. Well, they say it's unselfish. They'll tell you, yeah, but I want to help the world. I want to join the Peace Corps. Or Vista. And so they join the Peace Corps and Vista and get out. What do? They get over there. They start demonstrating against their government. They think, well, that's really good. That's my way. But that is all self. What it really comes down to it, they must think. There is a good part. And let's be fair to them. There is a strong idealistic trait that runs through street young America, just as there are young people here. And that's what we must appeal to. They would like to be self-reliant. They would like to live their own lives. They would like to help others. And they would like their nation to mean something more for the world than simply living selfishly within our own nation. They would like for America to be what it is destined to be in this last third of the century. To provide the leadership, and that means the military strength, the diplomatic leadership, and the economic growth, which will allow us to be the first nation in the world, because we will use that position of first never to destroy freedom, never to break the peace. We will always use it to uphold freedom and uphold the peace. Now, the world is very fortunate that America at this time happens to come along and is in that position. Because in times past, and this is no reflection on the other time, because there was a different set of Marines, the British, the French, the Spanish, all the others came in the other, were moving in the other direction. The situation is so what I'm really trying to say is that first, starting with the kids, particularly be understanding with the kind of people you will talk to, because you will find in most of the families of the upper middle class that represent, who are mainly Republican or Democrats and supporters, that they have very great problems with their kids, and they have problems for reasons that is understandable, because they are so compassionate, and they are so good to them. They think, Jesus, it's hard for me, and I don't want to make it hard to them. I'm going to feel that way a little myself. But be understanding with it. But also point out that at this time, let's face up to it, kids. Maybe it's a mistake to think that the way to greatness for an individual or for a nation is to make it easy for them. It is to see that everything, that there is a guaranteed annual income, that you get an income whether you work or you not work, that we have a welfare program that provides a system with regard to a work requirement, that we will provide an education for our children and not require any work or any responsibility on our part to make it easy for them. What I'm really saying is that I don't mean you want to make it hard on everybody, but I am saying that there is the line in between. There is such a thing as national character and individual character. It is never developed in the rich societies. It is never developed in the soft societies. It is only developed in those societies that continue, either because of religious background or because they have to do it, who continue to have to hack it. Let's look around the world for just one other moment. The two great nations in the world, other than our own. Who are they? The Japanese, the Germans. Who would have predicted after World War II that the two defeated nations, demolished by the war, those peoples would come back? Why did they come back? Well, partly maybe because they were Japanese and because they were Germans. They had a lot to do with it. Man, there is such a thing as inheritance. But there's another reason. Because they had to. They had to do it. Here they were defeated. They had no option. They didn't have any choice. And so they went to work and they developed. And in the process, they had to go through some pretty searing experiences. But in the end, they developed a little steel in their character. And so here's America, rich, a little fat maybe, and as far as our people are concerned, our kids, maybe what I'm really saying is college scholarships, free loans, you don't have to pay anything back. For example, one of the reasons why I think in the college business, I have four programs of loaning the money and making them pay it back. I want it free. Not because I want to be hard with them, because I know it's better for them. Not because of the dough, but because of their character. And yet, that AGW bunch over here is always in whining and squealing around and says, well, isn't it, I mean, do you want this poor child to have to pay it back? You bet your life you do. See? And what we're really talking about is that what is tested in this next few years, more than America's military strength or its economic might, is its character. And character leaders can talk about it, but it's going to come from the home, it's going to come from the mothers, it's going to come from the church, it's going to come from all these institutions that are now in disrepair. And so you can tell the ladies of the country particularly, strengthen the home. Strengthen your community, strengthen your church, if they want to believe in any church. I hope a few people still do, but I doubt it. But if they do, strengthen all those things. But the least they can do is to not to destroy the character of their own children or of others by a permissive is really the word, by a permissive attitude. That completely denies that child an opportunity to have to sort of look in the mirror one day and say, well, maybe it isn't the war. Maybe it isn't the old man who's a little bit too hard on me and wants me to. Maybe it isn't the environment or the dirty air I'm talking about. Maybe it isn't the system down at the college where they grade a little too hard. Maybe it's me. Looking back on my college and high school career, the best teachers I had were the ones that were the toughest on me. They gave me the worst grades. Now, they did at the beginning. I eventually came up. And the poorest teachers were ones that I thought would be wonderful at the time. That was so nice. Well, anyway, you have...